as God is my witness, I thought turkeys could fly.
Steve Rosenblum.
Mike Esposito.
On 670 The Score in Odyssey Station.
There it is, Espo. Mr. Carlson saying it all for all of us.
Field reporter Les Nessman still out there.
Oh, the turkeys are hitting the ground like sacks of wet cement. Oh, the humanity. So with Les Nessman, and everybody naturally makes the connection of Les Grobstein, who would do the Jive Turkey of the Year on these days. We had a texter ask about that, didn't we?
Yes, we did.
And we don't have anything to play for you, 708 texter. Sorry, so we just played you Mr. Carlson. 219 texter. Rise and shine, wake and bake club member, ready to wake and bake, and most of all, suck throughout the day. No better day to be a wake and bake club member than on Thanksgiving. Is that true, Espo, do you think?
I think it'd be true for the eating part, but I don't know. You don't want to be too tired. I mean, the goal, obviously, is to make it through the family Thanksgiving dinner and then fall asleep while eating, and you know, after eating and then watching and waking and baking. But I would guess that it's certainly a solid day for some couch surfing and some football watching. So maybe that's what he means.
Our text zone number, 312-644-6767. And as everyone knows, the text zone is brought to you by Rosen Hyundai of Algonquin. Save time, shop online, rosenhyundai.com. 224 texter, is the proper term happy Thanksgiving for the Wake and Bake Club today? I just smoked a fat 1 gram bloint of blueberry AK to get my day started right. Well, I guess we could ask, what about Thanksgiving? Isn't that what Bob from Niles would ask?
Yeah, it's possible. Hey, yeah. if there's ever a place to ask about Thanksgiving, it is on these airwaves. So we are here for you.
Yeah. So the Bears are going to play football against the Jets. We don't know who's going to quarterback. We think we know. It sounds like we know. It sounds like we know who shouldn't play. Because he's got a separated shoulder, partially torn ligament, an AC joint. It means all cracked, or whatever it stands for. That's Justin Fields' understanding, and our understanding is, why would you risk him? And you would ask that question of the player, but ask of the coach. He will determine who's up, who's down, if he's medically cleared. Here is Matt Eberflus on why it's important to play Justin Fields against the Jets Sunday.
If Ryan Poles doesn't want him to play Fields and you do want him to play, does he play?
There's a big argument then, I would say. I would say we have disagreements like that sometimes, you know, and we would just have to put our heads together and make a common sense decision on that, which is a lot of things. You know, when we make decisions on certain things like we did with, you know, Tevin last week, you know, we just got to make the thing that's for the best for the player and where the player feels where he is performance-wise.
So that's sort of jumping ahead. The idea of the coach thinks it's important to play. If he's ready to play, he's going to play. That's the way you do it in the NFL. Because we're playing the game. We're trying to win the game. It sounds like everybody laps into Herm Edwards. Yeah, right? I mean, that's what it is. Yeah. The reason you play the game is you play to win the game. Hello? There's a lot of great things, Eberflus saying, there's a lot of great things to getting the experience of playing a game, every single game we can. That's an important part of this season. And it's hard to debate that. He's right. This is a quarterback who needs every rep, every snap, every opportunity. We see it, don't you?
Absolutely. No, I agree that you want Fields to play as much as possible. I will have a caveat in there with this, but that you don't want him to do it where he's got a separated shoulder and where he's feeling pain, right? I mean, this game at this point, and we talked about it, and I think Bears fans know this as well as anybody, this is not a team built to win this year. And if you're Eberflus, so here's where, if I'm Eberflus and I understand the NFL coaching mentality, right? You want to win every single game. You don't want, you're not there to lay down, and I support that wholeheartedly. What you're also not there to do is get your franchise quarterback or your potential franchise quarterback. I don't know how we classify him these days, but you do not get him further injured when he already is injured against a bad Jets team when you are a bad Bears team and you've already traded away all your best players and you're sitting on all this dead cap money this year. At 3-8, you're not making the playoffs. It doesn't matter if you're 4-8 or 3-9. So that's where this week in particular, when Justin Fields yesterday literally came out and said that it hurts to do pretty much everything, hand off, throw passes, whatever it is, why you would then consider playing him in this game. Although, you know, Fields wants to play too. And if they all want him to play, I think this is where you have to, and Flus even said it in that cut, right? You have to be smart about this. You have to make a common sense decision, which to me, and I think to you, is the one that shows Trevor Siemian playing on Sunday.
Yeah, the idea of common sense and NFL doesn't go together.
That is also true.
It doesn't, because you look at, and I'll give you a perfect example. In the, we're talking about QB1, but talk about draft pick one. Talk about Jaquan Brisker. He has been, for me, a highlight. He's been an example
of what Ryan Poles
can do. The thing he does best, I think, is draft. It's a small sample size. I think his free agency's got tons of problems. Again, a small sample size. And he's going about wrecking a roster that needed to be wrecked. He's gone about putting himself in position to tank. He's putting his team in position to tank. And right now they have the third overall pick. They have the same record as Carolina, but they played a stronger schedule. So Carolina has the number two pick right now, because the Panthers have played a weaker schedule, and they're 3-8 like the Bears. Bunch of teams at 3-7 chasing the Bears for that draft pick. So that's what Ryan Poles does. But when you talk about common sense in the NFL, it's ludicrous, because the game is built on destroying your head and your brain and your body. We talk about Justin Fields being hurt. Everybody's hurt. Everybody in the NFL is hurt. It takes one practice, and you're hurt. And you're going to stay that way for the next 6.5 months, 7 months, whatever it's going to be. Jaquan Brisker was diagnosed with put in concussion protocol, say Monday, whenever it was, after the game. He was taken out of the game twice and evaluated for a concussion. He missed one play each time, went back in the game, and then said that he has a concussion. Mm-hmm. And it is explained repeatedly that by NFL concussion experts, those who are meant to oversee the concussion spotters, the doctors, the people on the field, the people, the eyes in the sky. So much of it is patient, essentially a confession. And it's patient information driven. It's self-reporting. Mm-hmm. And the patients, in this case, football players, are taught to say, when they have a concussion, that their toe hurts. That's what happens. That's what they're taught to do. Tom Thayer said it on these very airwaves years ago. If you are in danger, if they think you got your bell rung, which is what we used to say before we knew about CTE, if you got your bell rung, Thayer said, no, you grab your ankle. You don't grab your head. I mean, they're taught ignore the brain damage they are enduring, because that's what happens on every play. And so common sense, Espo, sounds like an oxymoron when you're talking about the NFL. So now what? Now what do you do, Espo?
Well, and I say funny, but it's not funny at all. It's actually sad. But your primary reasons for Bears football watching, at least for me personally, I want to watch the young guys. I want to see the future of this team. And, you know, I'm not interested necessarily in the result. Of course, I want the Bears to do well. Inevitably, you end up rooting for the Bears to win, even though in your brain you might know that having the Bears win is probably not as good as it would be for, you know, your draft position, et cetera, et cetera. So not to get too far deep into that, but you look at the injury report yesterday, and we've talked extensively about Fields, so we're not sure if Fields is going to play, and I think if we had our druthers, he wouldn't. But you look at who else did not practice yesterday, both with concussions, is Brisker and Kyler Gordon, who, as you said 100% correctly, these are guys that have been bright spots. These are your building block guys, some of them on defense, and guys you want to step, you want to watch. You want to keep them out there, and you want to keep them healthy, and both are concussed. And clearly that is not good, and you want to make sure that they are healthy. But you're right. I mean, the self-reporting thing, and I mean, it's kind of a well-known thing, and you know, Thayer, the comment you just pointed out is 100% correct. That's what they do. Nobody is going to, I mean, they might deny it, but nobody's going to deny that that's what's happened for years, right? You get your bell rung, you don't say it, you kind of shake off the cobwebs and you run back in, and regardless of whether you're concussed or not concussed, you know that's what happens.
So you're watching, it's the perfect Bears game is to see what Justin Fields did for most of the last month and them lose. Mm-hmm. And yet it's imperfect. And I get a lot of pushback from texters, and we get it today. Why do you guys have to be so negative about whatever we're saying? I have long, and Trent Dilfer talked about it. We played in one of the cuts we played last hour. I want to see a hero drive. I want to see that something that happens in the last 2 minutes lead them back. He's had a lot of opportunities to do it, and he's failed, or he has not done it. Whether it's him, somebody else, everybody's making excuses that it's never him. But they've lost four games in a row. They've had chances to do it. Do you know that embarrassment, almost a massive embarrassment against Houston, Lovie Smith's Houston Texans, do you know that counts as a fourth quarter game-winning drive for Justin Fields?
The Texans game.
Roquan Smith Roquan Smith made the interception, ran it back, to the 18, and they were just killing time and lining the ball up for Santos. But because Justin Fields handed off and then he took a knee, and eventually Santos came on, and he broke the tie. They won the game. He gets credit for a fourth quarter game winning drive.
I did not know that.
Hello.
And that to. Yeah, that to me strikes as your, that's not really the spirit of that, right?
No, it's not. It's not what I'm looking for. I'm looking for what I wanted to see last week and the week before and the week before. Like, okay, 2 minutes to go or all your timeouts. You got moved down the field. I don't mind him. I mean, I really didn't mind Getsy's play calling because the first one was if he – you call a design run. You got timeouts. You're getting rid of the edge. You can get out of bounds. And he's your best offensive weapon. You don't need to go the length of the field. You just need to get to a point where you can at least get a field goal. And then he calls a running play. He called David Montgomery. And David Montgomery is going to, in theory, going to hurt people. He's going to shake off contact and get – and, okay, well, somebody screwed up, miscommunication – you know, I confess somebody else did it, and your quarterback got hurt on the first one. He didn't know where he was or what to do on the second one. He threw an interception on the third one. Drive home safely, everybody. Tip your waitstaff. Mm-hmm. So I didn't mind the play calling. I'm once again saw everything I wanted to see except Fields leading, driving, turning the Bears into a winner with a hero drive at the end. I get a bunch of texters saying, hey, he doesn't have the weapons. We know they're going to lose. This is a bunch of crap. Well, why is it for – maybe you can help me here. Answer this, Espo. Why is it everything good that happens for three quarters is all praise to Justin Fields? And when crap happens at the end and they can't win a game, they can't come back, they can't mount a drive, they can't look like a decent offense – it's everybody else's fault and not Justin Fields. Can you fix that for me? Can you explain that, Lucy?
I can try.
Okay.
And I think maybe that's our listeners doing exactly what you're saying, right? I mean, they look around and they see that, St. Brown and, Claypool new to the team and Dante Pettis. And I mean, outside of Mooney, pick your guy, and Komet has been better of late, but you don't have a lot of options out there for game-breaking receivers. Your running game is your best offensive threat. You can't protect Fields. I mean, Dilfer illustrated that perfectly with the struggles they've had on that offensive line. And I think some of that, too, is right. I mean, Fields is the guy, right? And Bears fans have, you know, truly warmed to Fields. They think he's going to be the next big thing. They think he is finally going to be a franchise quarterback here, and they don't want to hear the negativity, just like that texter texted in. And I was going to point that one out to you. You beat me to it. But, right, why are you guys being negative was the question, or why is the, or was the comment, I should say. But I don't think it's being negative. I think it's being realistic with what they have. And you're right. I mean, what we saw from Justin Fields, the reason he was a first-round pick was because of his passing. And, you know, it's a joke that's been made a million times, but if he had the wide receiver talent that he had at Ohio State, maybe this would look differently. But that's not what the Bears have right now. That's not to say they can't get it in the offseason, during the draft, and in free agency. They're going to have a ton of dough to spend. But, right, I mean, I think that's it. You know, Fields is your face of the franchise, and people don't want to hear you talk negatively about him. That is my gut instinct as to what you're talking about.
It's backed up by my emotional support oracle, the man who knows all, tells all, at my Trader Joe's. All capital letters, he texts to us, your ESO says, but look at the lack of talent around him. Bang, 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 bang. Happy Turkey Day. Okay, all right. You see what you want to see. We'll see what we want to see. We're not being negative. We're being interested
we're keeping
in
it real,
the reasons
man.
Why. Yeah, it's you drink your own Kool-Aid on Thanksgiving. And speaking of turkey, we will discuss that next. And an NBA player had what I believe would be the greatest and most appropriate Thanksgiving no comment as a result of social media and what it means and how it works and what happens. It's really a remarkable thing. So we'll bring that and we'll discuss that. And later on in the hour, we will hear from Boomer Esiason. He was on with Parkins and Spiegel talking, quarterback, Bears and their quarterbacks. And we will hear from that before Mark Grody joins us at 9 o'clock. Happy Thanksgiving to you, even those of you who must be with your family. Steve Rosenblum, Mike Esposito, Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score.
Have a nice Thanksgiving.
Steve Rosenblum,
Mike Esposito
on 670 The Score in Odyssey Station.
I'll be Steve Rosenblum. He'll be Mike Esposito, right? You want to be
that? I guess that makes me Mike Esposito. Yeah, I'm fine with that.
Share with the class as we do our Thanksgiving show. Happy Thanksgiving to everybody. Thank you for joining us. Even though it's not Saturday Suckage, it sounds like Saturday Suckage. And boy, will it sound like Saturday Suckage at 9 o'clock when Mark Grody joins us. It's not his show, but it should be his show. He's on this show. And tomorrow he'll have his own show right after we have this same kind of show, me and Espo on from 6 to 10. After it, we'll be off the air at 11 today. After 11 o'clock. Turns out we're the pregame show for the pregame show for football's biggest day.
Yep.
You will have the triple header today. You'll have, starting with the Lions, hosting the Bills and the Giants and the Cowboys, and then the Vikings and the Patriots, and we'll see who's a fraud, who's not. Maybe there you go. Mike Esposito. Share with the class an Esposito family Thanksgiving.
So the Esposito family Thanksgiving, we have the three kids now. We're just heading to the in-laws today. We do a variety of different things, but the wife's sister and our niece and nephews from that side, they're in Alabama. They're visiting the other side of the family.
Did they lose a bet?
No, they made the drive.
Were they sentenced to something for a criminal act? Did they got sent to Alabama?
Well, it's probably a little bit warmer there, but they did have to drive there, so that was undoubtedly a fun drive with two 14-year-olds and a 10-year-old or a 12-year-old, excuse me. So I'm sure that was a good time. But no, this year is low key. We do a variety of different rotations and everything, but essentially, You get the wife's family, and then some smattering of my family in there. And then on Christmas, we do the old rotational where you get one side of the family one day, one side of the family the other day. But essentially, it'll be lots of eating. It'll be lots of football, and hopefully no breaking things and whatever else from the children. But outside of that, it's a very traditional, I would say, normal Thanksgiving.
I would, maybe our texters have some thoughts on this. 312-644-6767. That'll get you to our text zone. Anecdotally, I believe two weird things are happening, and maybe it was predictable, but experiencing it has been sort of eye-opening. Because it's not that COVID's done. It's still taking the lives of people. It's still affecting people, but it feels so different that what feels like to me is there are bigger gatherings this year than there have been since this started. More people,
sure.
There. More people that despite what you're doing. And I think that has created a problem to come out of that is you look forward to this, like, we can get together. We can do the bigger Thanksgivings. Well, as much as we may have dreaded it before, dealing with, you know, Uncle Snark and Aunt Snob, and we're going to be with them and they're prissy kids and all the stuff that they're doing, everything you used to hate, you now you want to embrace. So there's the bigger groups. We're back together again. And what that seems to have done, again, this is anecdotal, is created greater stress, greater, more edginess, less patience and tolerance, because now it's a bigger deal. Oh, we got to cook for all these people. Oh, we got to make this. Now we're having 17, or now we're going to be at a gathering where there's 17. So I got to make two side dishes. Oh, I got to get this. Why do I have to go to a grocery store? Can't they just deliver it? Why? I don't.
Yeah.
Have you run into any of that? Do you sense that? Yeah, have you experienced that?
I have experienced that. I do think this year, certainly 2022, has been in many ways the return to normalcy, whatever you want to say it, however you want to call it, despite what you're saying with COVID still being out there. A lot of people have been vaccinated. A lot of people have already had it. So people are returning to a more normal lifestyle, whether that's going back physically into your office or getting back out to these large gatherings, etc. I certainly have noticed that. In fact, we were on a group text the other day with a bunch of my college buddies, and we were giving some grief to my one friend Dave, who decided to go to Costco on Monday and was lamenting.
How'd that work out for him?
Oh yeah, that did not work out very well for him at all. And we're like, wait a second, it's the week of Thanksgiving and it's the middle of the day and everyone's off work and you're at Costco? It's like, this is probably not your smartest decision, Dave. And it was not. But that was fun. Yeah, I think that is exactly what you're saying, right? I mean, people are getting back to it, but the stress levels are high. You know, the inflationary things going on in the economy and all the different things that go into Thanksgiving, where you're buying all of this food and you're trying to entertain your family, and then the getting together of families. And you jokingly mentioned it, but right, I mean, all the family tensions that you might have avoided with, socially distant holidays a few years ago, those are gone, right? So the stress has come right back.
Yeah, I had. Mostly my Thanksgivings had been, it was Steaksgiving. It's usually me. That's what the diva and I referred to it, and we did Steaksgiving. And that was fine by me, and it was just us. And we did Wildfire's medallion trio. We made all that, and that was just simple. So this year, me and Sweet Cheeks, we're going over to Sweet Cheeks's cousin's house, and it's going to be her family and her mom and her dad. And so for me, this is bigger. This is going to be about 10 people. This is bigger. And I just, okay, I do the radio show. I'll bring the wine. I'll bring flowers. Don't make me do anything. I just want to show up. I that's all I want to do.
And that's right.
I'm going to wear Kevlar because I don't know how this is going to go, but it should be. I'm like Sweet Cheeks' family, and they're very nice. They welcome me. I'm just, but that's one of the reasons I bring it up, is this is a bigger version of this. So I will ask you, I'm sorry?
I was just going to say, can you be in charge of like movie quotes or comic relief or like, you know, Planes, Trains, and Automobiles, lines, things like that? I mean, we could put you in charge of stuff like that for the Sweet Cheeks Thanksgiving, though.
Yeah, we determined that's the only Thanksgiving movie, right? Planes, Trains, and Automobiles.
All the rest of them revolve around, getting home for Christmas, Planes, Trains, and Automobiles, and I just caught the last half of it again last night before Bulls basketball, and it's always enjoyable to return to. He's trying to get home for his Thanksgiving dinner, and that's the entire thing, and I can't think of it. I'm sure there may be others, but I can't think of anywhere Thanksgiving is the centerpiece. You're going home for Thanksgiving as opposed to Christmas.
Right, and tomorrow when we do the show, we can fight about whether the greatest Christmas movie involves Nakatomi, Hans Gruber versus Michael Corleone. We could fight about that tomorrow. But that's tomorrow.
I look forward to that one.
So we'll discuss turkey later on, but I want to bring this up. Zion Williamson and the Pels was asked your favorite dish. What's your favorite dish? Jen Hale does a broadcast. She got him on mic, on camera after the game. What are you looking forward to eating the most? And Zion Williamson gave one of the most wonderful answers I've ever heard in this day and age. You're trying to set me up. No matter what answer I give, social media is going to clown me. So no comment. He refused to comment on his favorite Thanksgiving dish for fear of social media pushback.
Well, and he's right, too, because this is the guy that has had, I don't want to say struggled with weight, but I mean, he's had body issues, right? I mean, he's a big guy. He's always been a big guy, but there were certainly lots of scuttlebutt out there on social media and other places that he's not been in basketball shape. He's carrying too much weight, not this year, but in previous years. So I see that. I'm with you, Zion. I feel your response on that one. I get it.
So we'll call him Zion Williamson. Is that what you're doing? Is that how we go? Oh, my God. But the idea of...
I'm down with that one, too. Yeah, sure.
It's so modern for a guy to invoke social media as refusing to take a stand on a side dish or a main dish on Thanksgiving. Like, this is so out of hand. 708 texter, Steve, our family is back to normal holiday parties. 22 people at Thanksgiving this year, back to normal with COVID over. Well, COVID's not over, but 22, that's, wow. You'll wish for smaller gatherings after that.
It's a lot of people in one house, for sure.
Oh, boy. Another 708 texter. Morning, suckage show. Unfortunately, I have let's just say a rectum in-law, and it's always that way. Love this show. Well, we're here for you for that. We're going to take a break. When we come back, Boomer Esiason had some thoughts for Parkins and Spiegel, talking about the Bears quarterback, who might quarterback, what he's done as quarterback. We're going to hear what the former quarterback says about the nominal Bears starting quarterback. I'm Steve Rosenblum. He's Mike Esposito. We're here on Thanksgiving. Hope you're having a happy Thanksgiving morning. Thanks for letting us keep you company. Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score.
Gobble, gobble.
Back. Steve Rosenblum, Mike Esposito with you. Boomer Esiason was on Parkins and Spiegel yesterday. Wanted to bring that to you, talking about Justin Fields, talking about the Bears. Here's Boomer with Parkins and Spiegel.
We got a lot to talk about this week, don't we?
We certainly do. Were you surprised that Robert Saleh pulled the trigger and benched Zach Wilson?
I can't say that I was surprised. It came on, the news came after we had left our show this morning, and we were trying to figure out what he was doing with the quarterback situation. I figured that he had left the door open to bench Zach Wilson if he played poorly against the Bears this weekend. That's what it felt like. And then the more that the news came out, it came out that I think a lot of the players really were turned off by Zach's commentary after the game last week, in which he didn't play very well against the New England Patriots. He's basically lost the locker room as the leader of the team. And I think Robert Saleh sat down with his, his leadership council of players, probably talked to Joe Douglas, their general manager, and decided that, you know, to move forward and to keep the locker room in perfect harmony, that they needed to make the change here.
So, Boomer, you're not buying the fundamental reset, that the kid needs a reset because the fundamentals are out of whack? Was there any of that going on in addition?
I think there is something. I think he's got the yips. I also think that a home game in front of a fan base that has just absolutely been torturing him for the last 3 weeks is probably not good for his psyche. Look, I don't buy into all this stuff. I think a guy's got to live through the adversity. You got to find out if the guy's got thick skin and all that other stuff. But, you know, last week watching the tape, you could see where he was just kind of misfiring, and there were guys that were wide open. And it reminds me of when Chuck Knoblauch was playing second base for the Yankees, or Steve Sachs for the Dodgers for that matter, and they couldn't make a throw to first base. And it's almost like it's in his mind now where he did not want to make a mistake last week because he had thrown three interceptions against the New England Patriots a couple games ago, and going in and with Belichick and everything going on, he really, really struggled. And the answers to the questions after by the media really is what really did him in, because there were really short, curt answers. I think his defensive players and the team at whole wanted him to take responsibility for the loss by the way that he played. And he did not do that. I noticed that Justin Fields has done that. I know Josh Allen has done that. I did that in my career, where you just got to take it and you just got to be a man about it and you got to step up and you got to take responsibility. Even if it's not your responsibility, you're still the leader. And Zach seems to be a little bit immature and doesn't seem to get that part of the job just yet. And I wouldn't be surprised if we see him back on the field at some point before the end of the season, because Mike White is not the long-term answer or solution for the New York Jets. It's just a stopgap. It's a Band-Aid, and it's probably to alleviate the fan pressure and also the pressure coming from within the locker room itself.
Well, it's just pretty stark, Boomer, just the 21 draft class with Zach Wilson being second overall and Fields being 11th, and Zach Wilson having the leadership week that he's had, and the story coming out that Justin Fields apologized to the team after the Falcons game for throwing that interception before he was carted off to get x-rays on his non-throwing shoulder, and Eddie Jackson had to stop him and say, hey, man, we didn't lose because of you. Feels like Justin Fields is a 10 out of 10 as a leader. How much does an act like that matter, even if, like you said, he didn't really owe them an apology?
Well, it matters a big way. You know, you got to have the respect of the locker room. And I think early on in the season that we talked about this, Justin was really struggling. And the other side of the team, the defense, really probably was wondering whether or not that Justin was going to ultimately be the leader that he's turned out to be. And all that changed after that Thursday night loss in Washington, or against Washington. And Luke Getsy changed the offense around a little bit. And then all of a sudden, Justin became, the bullet train that he is. And I think the players started to respect Justin and the physical nature. And then listening to the other teams talk about Justin, whether it be on social media, whether it be in the media itself, he garnered more and more respect each and every game. And then to play hurt and, to apologize, you want your teammates to love you. You want them to respect you. You want them to go to war with you. You want them to fight for you. And I think Justin definitely has the grasp of the locker room. So that's good news. The bad news is that he's playing a game that is a dangerous game. And, when he runs like he does, now the next step for him is to learn to really protect himself and make sure that he's able to show up each and every week.
Oh, we like this, Boomer. We like when the opposite of what we lived through the first time around with Mitch Trubisky being the guy. And like, oh, if you notice Deshaun and Pat Mahomes are good. Now you, Mr. Jet, you got Zach Wilson. Should have taken the fourth quarterback in the draft, our guy Fields. How's it feel, buddy?
Well, listen, I'm not Mr. Jet. I'm Mr. New York, I guess you would say. But okay. My feeling is such that I want all these kids to do well. I want every single one of them to do well. The better our quarterback situation is in the NFL, the more popular the NFL is. So for every Josh Allen, unfortunately, there's like three or four Zach Wilsons. For every Justin Herbert, there's four or five Sam Darnolds or Baker Mayfields. I mean, it just – it's a hard position to master. It's a hard position to understand. And I'm not throwing the towel in yet on Zach Wilson. I've seen too much good arm talent and good ability in the small areas where he has been successful to think that his career is over. I just think that, you know, he came from a bubble in Utah. I don't care what anybody says. This was a BYU kid. You know, he was probably lauded and loved at BYU. And, you know, he grew up there, the whole thing. And now all of a sudden he was handed the keys to the New York Jets of all franchises, just like Sam Darnold was. And Sam Darnold was ruined. I just hope that, you know, this kid isn't ruined yet. And I hope that he's learning a lesson. And really what you want to see now is a kid get angry and try to get his job back. And the only way he can do that is if he practices hard and he shows the coaches that he's making or at least he has the ability to be angry and go after it and the competitive desire to go get it. So I don't think we're done with him yet. I just think he's really having a hell of a hard time learning how to be a leader.
Boomer Esiason with us, Parkinson Spiegel on the score. So Boomer, I'm not sure like how plugged in you've been in the last like 90 minutes or so to the Justin Fields update, but it was a pretty interesting day here in Chicago. Matt Eberflus was asked a bunch of questions at his press conference about his quarterback, and he was a typical NFL coach, and he said absolutely nothing. And then Justin Fields came up to the podium, and he was super honest. Like, he said what the injury was. He said, you know, it's an AC joint. It's a partially torn ligament. If the game was today, I wouldn't be able to play. They talked to me about maybe wearing extra padding. You don't really know until you get that shot on game day. I'm not going to change which hand I hand off in. This isn't the national championship game. I'm not going to risk missing two or three games for the sake of playing in this one, but of course I want to be out there. Like, he was unbelievably forthcoming about the injury to his non-throwing shoulder. So the debate we're now having is it worth it to play Justin Fields, given that he basically shared what the injury was, an AC joint, partially torn ligament in the non-throwing shoulder? How would you answer that?
Yeah, I've had that exact injury, but I didn't play quarterback like Justin plays it. I just want to be honest with you. I didn't run like he did, and it hurts every time you throw, even though it's your non-throwing shoulder. Every time you lift your other arm to throw it, it's all tied together, and you feel it, and it's a lot of pain. I would not play him. I would not. And I would protect him from himself. He wants to be a hero, and we love that about him. So he's the leader. He's got the respect of the locker room, but I would not play him. There's no reason to play him, honestly. I just think that when you're messing around with shoulders and things of that nature, this injury can get worse. This is not like a hip pointer. A hip pointer can't get any worse than it is. A mildly separated shoulder can turn into a grade 3 separation that ends up needing surgery. So it could be a 1 to 2 week injury. If I remember mine correctly, I had to miss 10 days of no throwing, no nothing, and just total treatment. And then I missed one game in college and came back and played the next game. But every time I got hit the rest of the year, my shoulder would feel like I had an electric bolt going through it. So given the amount of time that he spends running with the football, I would be very, very careful of playing him.
It's really, really interesting because we've heard this terminology, Boom, like can't make it worse, you know? And they use that so often. You can, huh?
100% you can. So he's telling you it's a grade A or a grade 1. So there's grade 2, there's a grade 3. And it's already weak as it is, so he can make it significantly worse. And again, it's the way he plays that also comes into this. So he likes to run a lot. He's going to get hit. He's going to get knocked to the ground. And every time he gets knocked to the ground, that thing's going to feel like there's an electric bolt going through his neck. And I know that I 99% chance he's not playing. And if he does play, I'll buy you guys dinner when you come to New York next time. It's too painful, and there's no reason to take a risk for a season that really is about getting him ready and rebuilding around him for next year. But he doesn't need to play in this game. And by the way, the Jet defense is really good, really, really good. And they have they've had multiple sacks in the last three games. I think they have like 17 sacks maybe in the last three games. I mean, they get after the opposing team's quarterback. So if Josh Allen was going to get hit around, and he did, and they, you know, this is where he hurt his elbow, was against the Jet defense, I would be really, really reticent to play Justin Fields against this defense in this particular situation.
Carbone, Lugers, where does Boomer Esiason take us out for dinner?
Maybe Cipriani, that would be nice. I could take Joe Molino, whatever you guys would like. But I'm telling you, it would be crazy to expect him to play this Sunday.
Who needs to step in and say that, Boomer? Can the coach do it, or does the GM need to step in and say it? Matt Eberflus said it's a group decision today.
Yeah, I mean, look, it's going to be the training staff. It's going to be the doctors. And if you think that he can't re-injure it or make it worse, you know, then I got a bridge to sell you, you know, you know, for $1 million. The only thing I can tell you is that it's unlikely he's going to play. I mean, really. I mean, let's be realistic. And they can play the games all they want, because I will say this. Getting ready for Justin Fields is completely different than getting ready for Trevor Siemian. We all know that. And maybe they're playing games just to give them a little bit of an advantage and to make Rob Saleh and the defense of the Jets think that they may be playing against Justin, who's going to move around and run around. But it really doesn't make any sense. I mean, the guy has got a grade one separation. Everybody in football knows what that is, and they all know what that means. So I got to believe that the Jets don't believe that they're going to see Justin Fields either.
Boomer Esiason on with Parkins and Spiegel. So he's grading out very well when it comes to separated shoulders and AC joints. And we'll see. As we talked about, Boomer feels the same way we do, Espo, is it's a game. It's all about gamesmanship. It's the lame NFL game. It's make the other team do more work by not committing to anything.
Yep. No, and Boomer hit it, right? You're preparing for Trevor Siemian versus Justin Fields, two different things. The Bears want them to think that there's some chances there that Fields will play. And maybe there is. And if we see him out there, I know, I guess I wouldn't be surprised, but I would be disappointed. I don't want to jeopardize anything to do with Justin Fields. And Boomer, you just heard Boomer, a guy who actually had the injury. You can make it worse. So what's the point?
We're going to make it worse, too. No, wait, we're going to make it better. Mark Rohde's going to join us. Saturday Bears. Suckage and all kinds of combinations. I'm Steve Rosenblum. He's Mike Esposito. We'll talk to Grody next. See what's going on at Halas Hall today on Thanksgiving. Happy Thanksgiving. Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score.